Hey, monkeys fighting robots, campers, nation, monsters. No, we're not monsters yet. No, we're not pulling the Lady Gaga action. This is episode 167 of the Monkeys Fighting Robots podcast. I'm Matt Sardo, the founder of Monkeys Fighting Robots. And man, it's Free Comic Book Day. It's coming up. It's this weekend. That's like super exciting. Free Comic Book Day is like the most optimistic time of the year for me, because it's just, you see so many new people that have never read comic books before, and you're like, oh my God, comic books are the best thing ever. You should totally hop on to this, and you totally geek out, and you're like, yay, comic books. And so it's, so Free Comic Book Day is my like, yay, comic book day. And it's very exciting. And Jamie Jones, the artist of Tales of Monkeys Fighting Robots, will be at Uncanny Heroes in Tampa on Saturday, and we have a special Tales of Monkeys Fighting Robots print that he will have to, you know, for you to peruse, for you to, you know, put in your hands and possibly take home with you, you know, little things like that. And we'll also have a new episode of the Tales of Monkeys Fighting Robots comic strip out this Sunday. Every Sunday, Tales of Monkeys Fighting Robots comes out with a new strip, and Jamie and I are super excited about what's going to happen soon, because we are going to smash lots and lots of robots. But this week, I read lots of books, and I totally wanted to talk to you about Avengers Endgame, like kind of a spoiler review. So I got a little bit of things about that. I mean, there's so much stuff about Avengers coming out, Endgame coming out, that like, I think it's been done and played out already, and we're only like a week into it. But like, for me, the biggest thing is continuity is destroyed. Captain America destroyed continuity. Time travel destroyed continuity. So anything's possible. You know, they could go back and get Captain America. They could do Captain America in the 50s, 60s, 70s. I'd love like a Vietnam Captain America with Wolverine, you know, before he gets his powers or something like that, where it's, you know, something crazy, insane like that. I loved Avengers Endgame. I thought I loved how insane they were and how far they pushed the boundaries. You know, you did Professor Hulk and they explained it in like one line. Like, yeah, I did this and this and Professor Hulk and we're done and we're out of it. And you get the Hulk all the time. And it's the best thing ever. You know, and they took a lot of risks and a lot of chances. And it was the most fun that I've ever had in a Marvel Cinematic Universe film ever. At the last of the film, that constant battle was just bonkers, bonkers. So many goosebumps, so many themes. Same things. Thanos just sitting there, and then the Captain America, Thor, and Iron Man, just like, what's he doing? He's just sitting there, and they walk up, and then the battle, and then, you know, Captain America getting a Mjolnir, and just being like, hey, guess what? I'm badass now. And that was probably single-handedly the best moment ever in a comic book movie, when Captain America's running around with Thor's hammer just beating the shit out of Thanos. Just glorious, 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 glorious. The film is glorious. The Marvel Cinematic Universe is glorious. Everything that's led up to this just so worth it. So amazing. This movie had me as excited as like when I saw the first Iron Man, as stoked as I was when I saw the first Guardians of the Galaxy. Like this one, I was like, holy shit. It was the biggest roller coaster ride that I've ever gone on. And, you know, man. And I was bawling at the end. I was bawling, you know. I'm gonna eat some cheeseburgers. That's what I'm gonna do. I'm eat some cheeseburgers. But yeah, that's my nail in the coffin to Avengers Endgame. I'm looking forward to see what they do with Spider-Man. Because guess what? Those guys have been gone for 5 years. So did they all disappear and now they're all back in high school? That's gonna be awkward. Or just conveniently written that everybody that is involved in Peter Parker's life got snapped by Thanos and they were all gone for 5 years. So now when they come back, they're all the same age. Marissa Tomei, Aunt May, she got disappeared as well. So I don't know. It's that, again, continuity within these films is destroyed with Avengers Endgame. But I love it. All options are on the table. Everything is, anything can happen. It's an amazing time to be a comic book fan with the next phase of the movies coming out. With that said, we are now on Anchor, and this is where you will hear a commercial from our sponsors from Anchor. And we're back. Let's talk some comic books, people. I read lots of comic books this week. Deceased came out. War of Realms came out. Fallen World came out from Valiant. Dark Horse sent me an advanced copy of Stranger Things 6, which I really enjoyed. And then Spawn 296. It's making me choke up. I gotta get some water. I actually recorded a podcast 2 days ago where I talked about all of these comic books individually. And guess what? It was a shitty, shitty podcast. It was monotonous. It was just boring. And it was just like, I was just like, I apologize to my computer for putting that audio into the computer because it was bad. It was bad. So I was like, I gotta redo this. I gotta redo this podcast and I gotta amp it up for you guys. The biggest thing is I'm very disappointed with War Realms. War Realms just feels very plastic, very inorganic, and very contrived and made for you to read spinoffs. And that's how I feel about a lot of Marvel's big events. And this one kind of still holds through. It's just the tone of it. You know, Spider-Man just saying a witty line every time he shows up just bothers me that's how he's used sometimes. I do like Thor going berserk at the end of 3. I thought that was going to be, that's really cool. I'm not a huge fan of the artwork. The artwork just looks like stickers on a page. It's one of those things that just doesn't work for me. And I know that a lot of people enjoy it. I think Brandon, who reviewed it for Monkey's Friend of Robots, he loved it. He loves what's going on with it. I do love Daredevil as the bridge keeper for the Rainbow Bridge. I think that's really cool. I do like how certain things are incorporated in, but some things I'm just not a huge fan of. Overall, I'm just not like, eh. It's like the Dark Elf is taking over the world. Maybe, I guess. I don't know. But that was the only one I was kind of a little down on. Deceased from DC Comics. Holy shit. That book is amazing. The artwork is a little clunky because it's between two artists, so it starts off okay, clunky in the middle. Then the end, when like the terror sets in, you're like, holy shit, this art is amazing. And I was just like blown away by everything that was going on at the end of that book and how far they went with that book. And I think it's a Elseworld tale is what Anthony Composta, the editor-in-chief, was calling it. So it's not in continuity. So that means like all bets are off and anybody can become a zombie or die or whatever you want. And so that's going to be a fun, like Walking Dead-ish comic book to read. And I'm super excited about where that goes. So definitely pick that up. I also reviewed Fallen World from Valiant Comics. That's by Dan Abnett Landing fame of the, you know, Guardians of the Galaxy universe. Oh my God, I enjoyed that book so much. I really did. I can't believe how much I enjoyed that book because I'm not a huge Valiant fan. I know of the Valiant universe. You know, so there's Rye, there's Bloodshot, the Eternal Warrior. But what Abnett does is he kind of just uses one or two sentences to introduce who these characters are. So you jump right into the middle of the chaos, but like you never feel lost and you're like, okay, this is an easy universe to kind of like follow, and it's not that hard, and it's super sci-fi-y because it's set in the future. It's got a lot of real world thematic elements to it, which is fun. I'm trying, you know, because he talks about immigration, wealth inequality. I'm trying to think of what else is going on in that book where it was a thematic element, because I also interviewed Dan Abnett earlier in the week as well. So that interview is on Monkeys Fighting Robots as well. But the artwork is super, super sweet. Like it's really good. The artwork is really, really just bonkers good on that one because it's weird. Going from like Marvel book to DC book, to a Dark Horse book, to an Image book, to a Valiant book. Valiant always has a certain feel to it, and that feel continues with it. And it's crazy. Adam Polina is the artist. I think he worked on X-Force. And he just really knows how to like draw veins. And like, I'm also a fan. Okay, this is a big thing. I'm a fan of a book that looks like it was drawn with a pencil. I know that not a lot of books are drawn with pencils anymore, and I don't know, maybe they are. But I'm more of a fan of a book that looks like it was drawn with a pencil and then inked over with an actual marker or a pen, however way we want to word it this world, and goes from there. Like, that's what I'm a huge fan of, is something that actually looks like it was somebody handmade it. I know I don't want to take anything away from people that do this all computer generated and, you know, with Photoshop and all the other different things. I mean, that is a skill, that is artwork, that is amazing too. But still, that sometimes kind of looks like a cartoon to me. I'm not a huge fan of it, but with Fallen World, like, this looks like a comic book. It has texture, it has feel, as you know, that, you know, it looks like somebody drew this book. And And the colors are so rich. Like, I don't know what they did with this, with the red that they're using, but it's like gritty and it's bloodier. It's like in your face. Like, oh, it's so red compared to the rest of the book, and that it's just beautiful. And I just really enjoyed it. And then it ends on like a really cool cliffhanger, and just the cinematic element of how the lens that Polina uses for camera angles. It just works really well, the back and forthness of it, and then how it ends on a cliffhanger. You're like, or not a cliffhanger, just it's just an up note where you're like, oh shit, I need to read the next issue. I don't think it's a cliffhanger. It's just more of a, just like, holy shit, we got to get this shit going kind of thing, and you're ready to go. And so I really enjoyed that immensely. In my review sitting there on Monkeys Fighting Robots, if you want to read it out, I'd recommend just getting to the store and buying the book and then reading it and then coming back to Monkeys Fighting Robots and seeing if you agree with what I talked about. Dark Horse sent me a book, and they sent me Stranger Things 6, which is a prequel to the Stranger Things. You know, 11 is in the book. 11 is in the book, or in 11 is in the Stranger Things series. So this is 6. So this is 5 previous to it. And it's set in the 70s. And if you hear me clicking, it's because I'm trying to get to my review so I can tell you all the cool people that did it. But no, it's set in the 70s. And the emotional spectrum that this book goes through in just a few pages, 22 pages, you know, you see this girl, Francine, like her innocence just destroyed by her parents. And, you know, and then the scientists take her, and then things just kind of go downhill. But like, you have this lovely, innocent girl who has these powers, and then people just abuse her, and it's just like, it's emotionally gut-wrenching. And again, this is another book. Edgar Salazar did the art, and Keith Champagne did the inks. This is another book that actually looks like somebody drew it, and it feels so good. And Edgar's work is, you see so many different emotions on Francine's face that are just glorious, you know, that it's, you see her from happy to sad to, you know, shock and awe and, you know, and scared and just innocent. Like, it was just so really just amazingly good, what he put forth. Because Jody Hauser, she wrote the book, but there really isn't a lot of dialogue or a lot of things going on written wise in the book. It builds up quickly, and they kind of just like catch you up with her, Francine's life, number 6, and take it her to the point where she is in the labs, you know, where 11 came from. And it's just, I can't believe how quickly they progress the story. And the amazing part is, by the, you know, you start off as an outsider looking at Francine's life, and then by the end of it, there's like a transformation midpoint where like you and Francine are looking through the same lens. So then you feel everything that she does. And it just connected with me. And it was bizarre, you know, because I looked at it, I flipped through it, I was like, I don't know about this. And then I read it, and then I read it again, and then I reviewed it, and I was like, it's like, shit. I was like, you know, Jody, Edgar, Keith, Nate Pisco, who worked on letters, Trioni, Farrell, who worked on colors, he just hooked me on so many different levels. And I was just like, damn it. I was like, this book is really good. So yeah, there was that. And then this came kind of late in the week. I was like, holy shit, like Spawn 296 is out. There's a Marcher 300. Like, and we've talked with Todd McFarlane the past two Comic-Cons in New York, and I think we're going to work on having it again for this year, because that 300 will be out by then, or it might be out for New York Comic-Con, like something big. But it's like, you know, I got to read this book. You know, it's we're building up some momentum to 300. Like, he's working on the movie. Let's see where Todd McFarlane is with Spawn, and let's see if the character still has weight and is still works today. You know, I mean, the first book came out in the early 90s, and it was the epitome of, like, 90s glorious amazingness of guns and capes and crazy monsters and amazing artwork. And, you know, who gives a shit about the storyline if everything's blowing up the same? It was the Michael Bay time, you know, of comic books. But with that said, I was like, I still love it. I love Todd McFarlane. He's one of my idols, and like, he has transformed from like an artist idol to like an entrepreneur idol. Like, that guy just goes after it. He's aggressive and pulls no punches and just, you know, in your face, like, it's like, let's go do this. And, you know, and he's really open to supporting, you know, smaller people. You know, I mean, he's always done an interview for me. I mean, I've interviewed him at Image Expo. He's always been open to interviews at New York Comic Con, and he's even talked about, like, hey, you know, it's like, you can do this thing now. Like, he's all about disrupting the industries, whatever industry you're in. Like, he'll be a supporter of you if you're like, hey, go disrupt this, and I will be a big supporter. And then that's what he wants to do. And so, okay. So I read 296, and this is the one that kind of got me the most pumped, for it. And I was like, okay, Todd McFarlane did the script on it. Jason Sean Alexander, I am totally get stuck with Seinfeld with that one. He did the artwork, and then Todd McFarlane and Jeff Goff, and I'm in football mode, Jason Goff, but no, John Goff, they plotted out the book. Tom Orzinski, Orchowski, he did the lettering, and then FCO Plessia and Greg Menzi worked on colors. I apologize for butchering everybody's name in this podcast. That is one of my faults. But the reason why I want to talk about Spawn 296 is this is a blueprint for how Marvel and DC should do their comic books. Like, and there's a nice previously in Spawn section at the bottom in the inside cover. That is cool. And that Marvel and DC does this, which is fine. But at the end of the book, there's an index of every character that was talked about within the issue. And then it tells you exactly kind of like who they are, you know, very quickly. And then it tells you what issue was their first appearance, so that you can kind of go through and be like, oh, I'm going to go back through and read all these different Spawns, because like, I saw this part in the book that I really liked. The reason why they have this is because Spawn 296 is basically like, here is everything that happened in Spawn over the past 296 issues. Like, this is Spawn's greatest hits. And I do believe that there's been some like retcons and reboots of the Spawn universe over the past 296 issues. Personally, I think I've only read up to issue 50 when I was a kid, and I never really kind of picked it up afterwards. When it was at the comic book shop, at the Comic Vault, like, it was kind of more of a horror book at that point in time. I'm trying to, you know, where they were kind of like rebooted it into kind of like a horror genre. But this right here, I think this issue is the backbone of what the film is going to be based on. And so it kind of just goes through the whole universe of Spawn and kind of catches you up. And a lot of it, you know, I was like, oh, this is why I like this book. This is what was going on. And I think Todd has basically gone through. It's like, okay, picked and choose what he liked from different reboots and different things like that. And was like, okay, this is the core of the Spawn universe in this book. And it's a splash page after splash page with lots of dialogue, not lots of dialogue, but lots of dialogue kind of explaining the universe. So each page is a different moment from the Spawn universe history. And it just kind of catches you up from current events that just happened in the previous issue to what's going to go down over this story arc. And I learned a lot. I learned a lot about Spawn. And I was like, okay, I learned a lot about Spawn, and I caught up with what was going on in the universe, and I was excited. I was really excited. I was like, why am I excited? Just like kind of reading like sort of a Wikipedia page of Spawn. And the reason why I was super excited was the artwork. Jason Sean Alexander. Oh man, I'm really confused because it's like there's Sean Alexander, the football player. There's Jason Alexander, the Seinfeld guy. So then you have Jason Sean Alexander. My brain is just like, I can't handle it. I can't. There's too many pop culture references in it. But his artwork on this issue is like Todd McFarlane and Bill Sienkiewicz just got mashed together in a time stream and were like spit out in a page. Because it's gritty. It's got that paint element to it. It's got dirty inks. I mean, there's a little Frank Miller-esque thing going on there as well. It's super dark, and the blacks are so rich. Like in this, and that's funny to say, but it just takes over. So any color that kind of breaks out of the blacks, it's just so in your face. And I pointed this out in my review. There's a Spawn splash page, and it's Spawn in a pose that you've seen a million times before, but it is glorious. You know, the glow from the glowing eyes to the cape that is alive. And crazy, and the cape looks like it's ready to, you know, strangle anybody at any second, you know, including Al Simmons. You know, like it's one of those beasts. You know, you have Doctor Strange's cloak, who's super nice and happy in the MCU films, but then like the cape and Spawn is deadly. It's an assassin, and this splash page, because it's so black, and then you just have the colors come out, like it looks finished, yet it has a raw intensity to it. Like I said that he was, you know, Jason Sean Alexander is, I want to say punk rock, but like heavy metal. Like it's just like, it's what Greg Capullo says that he's trying to do, but Capullo's work is just too pretty to be heavy metal or punk rock. You know, if that makes any sense. Like it's just too, like there's a raw edge to this stuff going on here, and it's a glorious, glorious book. And the thing that's pretty amazing about it is like each page is an iconic moment from Spawn's history or iconic moment about Spawn in the universe. So each page is just a full blown, crazy, hot mess of intensity of Spawn chaos. And I just ate it up. I ate it up, and I was like, I want seconds. I want thirds. I just want to see more of this. Like, I don't know if you guys remember the artist Jay Lee. His early stuff, like that sloppy, or that, I don't want to say sloppy ink stuff, but like purposely sloppy ink. And that's another thing that's going on with this book. Like the artwork is just glorious. And then you have the index at the end, like I said, which I said before, like you're like, here you go. Here's an index of everything that's going on in the Spawn. So if you want to go back and you want to catch up and you want to learn about all the Spawn universe, here's an easy how-to guide of how to do this. And I can just sit here and flow through this book and just look at each page, because each page is just a masterpiece of art. And then the dialogue kind of just catches you up. And Todd does a really good job with this dialogue, because it's really kind of just a speech going through from one of those angel demon guys. Like they're the guy, there's the knights from heaven that like are coming down to like kill the Hellspawn, but like they're not really good. They're blue and yellow. Again, I don't know all the Spawn universe stuff, but like what I did enjoy was the story. I was like, this is awesome, and I definitely enjoyed it. So that's my pick of the week, is Spawn 296, because I think for the next four issues, it's going to be a lot of fun to see where they go. And then talking about issue 301 as well. So 296, 7, 300. Yeah, I mean, it's gonna be a good 6 months of spawn that, you know, you could put it back in a box afterwards and I'd be like, oh yeah, I'll see you at issue 600 or I'll see you at issue 500. But like, it's glorious. And this it reminded me why I loved it back in the day. And but now it's a little bit older. You know, it's Todd's a little bit older. His writing's matured a lot more. You know, and it's just not there for shock and awe of shock and awe's sake. Like there's something here that is stewing. There's something stewing in this book that could be good, or it could be, you know, it could explode in our face at issue 300. And it's just all beautiful comic book art, which still isn't that bad. But yeah, I would definitely, this went back to second print. So they sold out at the distributor level, and Image is going to put it for second print out. But again, I would pick up 296. I would pick up Deceased number one from DC Comics. I would, for me, War Realms is take it or leave it. Fallen World number one, I really enjoyed. And then May 29th is when Stranger Things 6, number one of four, comes out. May 29th from Jody Houser, Dark Horse. I would definitely check that out if you're a Stranger Things fan or if you're a fan of storytelling. And I might go into it more about why that book was amazing. That might be a later podcast. But thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I'm Matt Sardo. This is Monkeys Fighting Robots. And, you know, have a great weekend. Have a great free comic book day, guys. Take care.